Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We've got Cynthia Hausmeister on the line. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
And congratulations to the Lakeville Journal. You have an incredibly important story. You are the only ones to have this story. I have a link to it on our Facebook page because it's that important of a story. And that is your story, Cynthia, the state launching an investigation into noncompliance by Nuvance Health. And this does not just include Sharon Hospital.
Right. And in fact, the questions from the Office of Health Strategy for Connecticut was sent to a hospital in Newark, but it includes largely Sharon Hospital. And I think that people in the community should feel really good about this, which is somebody contacted Office of Health Strategy and said, we feel that Sharon Hospital is not living up to the conditions that were set when Nuvance was allowed to be created by the combination of HealthQuest and Western Connecticut Health Network. A lot of very specific questions about their efforts to recruit new doctors to the area and specifically about their efforts to keep the maternity labor and delivery unit open and functioning. So their answers were originally due November 5th to the state. They're now due November 22nd. And there's a similar investigation going on in another hospital that's part of the Hartford Healthcare Network. So we appreciate what the state is doing to look into this and protect the community.
And I think it shows how important it is when people get out and 400 people show up at a rally and doctors get involved and our legislators, our political representatives get involved. Sooner or later, the message gets. And who knows what's going to happen, but at least it's percolating, and it's percolating the way it should with the state agency that can make the decision.
Right, and as Maria Horn said, ultimately it's up to the Office of Health Strategy to decide whether or not Nuvance can make these changes that are being proposed for Sharon Hospital. We can go to as many, you know, public rallies and everything as we want, and that's great. As you said, let's get some attention on it. But in the end, the most helpful thing here was somebody actually contacted Office of Health Strategy and had gone through the Certificate of Need request, which is, you know, not easy. And Keep sending those letters to Office of Health Strategy if you feel strongly about Sharon Hospital and changes planned there.
So the full story is available beginning on the front page of the Lakeville Journal, and I do mean full story, and that is available today. So good job on placing that story front and center so people can know that at least something is winding its way forward on Sharon Hospital. Other major story involves healthcare, and it's been something that we've all been covering for a while, and just a major update on Gear Nursing recovering from their outbreak, which was featured on CNN, on ABC, on all the major networks. They all had varying things of the story, but the great thing about the story that you published and that we know is that it's the Gear Nursing Home and not the Gear Village campus, which is a separate building.
Right, and what we've been trying to do in our coverage of this is to be a little more measured. I think this is one of the stories that's being most talked about in the community right now. And, you know, as we all do, as I do, as everybody does, when you talk about it in conversation, sometimes we're not as careful about thinking about the facts or how something came to be. And so we're trying to take a slow, careful look at this. We had a story, I can't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago.
Several weeks ago, but two stories that were really in-depth that Deb Alexinis and Cynthia worked on.
And when we first saw those numbers about the deaths and the rising number of gear, we felt like it merited a deeper look, and Deb is fantastic at doing that and really talked to a lot of people in the state and at all the nursing homes in our area about what those numbers meant. And it's not, I think that we all as a community have this fear of what nursing homes were like back in the 60s where you would hear about people really being uncared for. And I don't think that's what's happening here at Gear, but we're happy again that the state is looking into this and seems to be looking more carefully at numbers and how they're being reported.
You know, it's interesting you say that because especially in New York State, what happened with the COVID outbreak and nursing homes there, it casts a pale. And also, when you mention Gear, it's not Gear, it is Gear Nursing Facility. And that is something that's really important to point out, that Gear is far more than just their nursing facility. The Gear Village, they also have the apartments, the independent living apartments on there. It's not all under that. It's just the nursing home. So,
and what this also points out is, you know, we really only have the three facilities for retirees here, and one is Noble Horizons, one is Sharon Healthcare, and one is Gear. And I would say Gear is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, campus, and they're trying to rebuild that fairly old nursing building, which is old school, you know, two people in a room share bathrooms, and the hope is that there will be enough community support for them to rebuild and make a really great, more modern facility where there isn't quite as much contact between the residents.
All right. We just had a presentation last week and also this week where people could question about Sharon Hospital, Zoom meetings, and limited in attendance simply because of COVID-19 precautions. But really, the questions the public asked and doctors and other people asked were intense and skeptical questions to the administrators.
Right. And as you said, there's a number of these going on. We have the schedule in, I think there's one today.
Yep. At the Interlaken, yes.
At the Interlaken, and you can sign on by Zoom as well. And I think they've been fairly open about it. And again, you know, a lot of people had emailed and asked us, who's on the Sharon Hospital Community Board? And Janet had a letter. I've lost my sense of time. Was it last week that the board members all?
And it's in the Millerton News this week.
Yeah.
So really trying to at least get information out there, very helpful for people to actually sit down and watch what they're saying. And, of course, the documents, you know, the certificate of need request should be online.
All right. So we'll get away from it. What a front page. We'll go on to the New York City Marathon, Cynthia.
You know, every now and then we do have people who run the marathon. And Elizabeth England is unusual in the sense that she's great at social media, so she took I think we must have 30 photos that she took. But she also walked it, which is a very particular way to see the marathon. It gives you a little bit more time to kind of stop and look around and observe. And she's a very thoughtful person and shared with us a lot of what it's actually like to not only walk that full course on that exciting day of the marathon, but, you know, whenever the Olympics come, you always hear the athletes saying, like, oh, we went to the Olympic Village, and that was really exciting. And then they gave us our, you know, Ralph Lauren-designed American team outfits, and there was this and there was that. So she talks a little bit about, you know, getting assigned to her wave and then going to the Javits Center and picking up her numbers and what it was like to be surrounded by all these world-class athletes when she really had only decided in September, recruited by a friend also from Cornwall, to walk for charity. And so we talk about that too, how you can enter the marathon as a charity supporter. It's a really interesting story. It was so long, in fact, we're continuing into next week's issue, November 25th.
And I have to mention this. Yes, we see animal pictures all the time and bear pictures all the time. But the most unique bear picture that I've seen now in a couple of years is the bear swimming at Munch Pond in Sharon.
I've never seen a picture of a bear swimming. I don't think I've ever seen a bear swimming.
I've seen bears. You've seen bears in swimming pools and stuff like
swimming.
That. But they do swim. And it's just a great picture that somebody caught. I think it's great.
You've seen the bear paddle.
Yeah. You've seen the bear paddle. And it was Jim Harity, who I think is a Cornwall resident, had sent in several pictures of this bear swimming across the lake. And we've also had a ton of photos and comments about eagles at Mudge Pond in Sharon. So I don't know what that means. There's a lot of renovation going on in there. So it's not like it's very sleepy at the moment. But for whatever reason, Mudge Pond is really having a wonderful growth of wildlife.
Now, you've got the story about Eversource announcing their major increase in electricity rates. I spoke with Mitch Gross a couple of weeks ago on this, and this is one time where it's not all Eversource's fault, folks. I know they do a lot of things wrong, but there's a lot of factors that are going into these increase in energy rates.
Right, and we call the state utility regulators, and they said when deregulation happened, the thought was that Connecticut residents would be able to bid for cheaper power. And so they broke electric into supply and delivery. And so it's the delivery that the state has control over. Supply, they have to go out onto the open market and bid for it, and prices have gone up. It's just like with everything, going to the gas station and whatever. That doesn't make it any easier for those of us that are going to see potentially a 20% increase in our rates. But as the utility regulator said, in general, the electric rates do go down again in July, which is actually the higher use period in the state of Connecticut. But I've already signed up for an in-home energy assessment from Eversource, and that's coming up. I found it fairly easy to book, but I would say you have to find the phone number. You have to dig a little bit on the website and call them. Don't email it in.
And they also have different plans where you can find out how much electricity you're using during the day. With they're offering a lot of payment plans and things like that. So you can get more information on that. Let's go to the next page. Just a lot of news this week. And story out of Falls Village, the Affordable Housing Study Group has been disbanded. Some protests there.
We have two stories about affordable housing, and we like to have them on the same page because they are so different. Every town in the state is required to have an affordable housing plan by next summer. A lot of them have been working with the COG, which is the regional organization of the First Selectmen. And some towns are sort of breezing through it. Some towns we hear nothing about it. Cornwall consistently has been having these meetings, and they're just moving steadily forward. Falls Village, as if you've been reading the paper over the last 6 months or so, has had a lot of struggle with it. And it's not that people necessarily are opposed to affordable housing. It's a personality conflict that's going on between the different organizations and how they feel that things should be done. And so there is an affordable housing study group. They're starting to get close to getting their plan together. A couple people in town, I think one of them, maybe even both of them, are on the committee and are objecting to how that study was put together and feel that it needs more careful study.
All right. And the story on the potential problem with the Halloween gathering in Cornwall, which really raised a red flag and now has 5th, 6th, and 7th graders learning at home.
Right. From Cornwall Consolidated School, generally a very thoughtful, a cautious town. And this is nervous-making as we approach Thanksgiving and Christmas. I think that there was a big outbreak of COVID last year after Thanksgiving just because it's hard in a family situation to control what everybody's doing. And I was actually at an event last week, and I would say everybody felt pretty confident that everybody at the party had been vaccinated, and then it turned out that somebody who had been vaccinated tested positive. So definitely a moment where we want to exercise some caution.
All right. I want to go on right now, first of all, to, well, you have the page where you have the different services that happened for
Veterans Day.
But let's go on to the editorial page for first, because there's a lot to talk about on these pages. First of all, your editorial, Janet, changes will have lasting effects for better or worse. And, of course, it deals with what we've been talking about.
It does. You know, as we're going through the process of understanding what Sharon Hospital is going through and then proposing, you know, we all remember what it was like during the height of COVID-19 and how important a resource Sharon Hospital was in our region and how much they stepped up to take care of anyone with COVID and be ready for everything. We need to remember that and remember that this is a really important center for so many reasons. And so as we look at how the state is evaluating what they're proposing now, we should be glad that there is oversight that's happening from so many different areas, but also look forward to the reality of it and how things will change in this region if Sharon Hospital changes so dramatically what services they're offering.
You know, it's one of those things that as we sit here as a radio station, we, to be open and honest about it, we get underwriting dollars from New Vance Health. We realize how important the hospital is here, but we also realize that when you open up and put light on things, it's much better. And even though right now New Vance and the community having a rough time, hopefully this will open up light and make things more manageable for both sides.
Exactly. And, you have to look at the long term and not only hope for one specific outcome, but understand what will happen and, find a way to deal with it. Because once communities change, you know, there are tipping points for communities.
Right.
And we've all heard about or seen it in places across the country. And massive changes at Sharon Hospital could really create a tipping point for this region that it serves.
And on a lot of different levels, economic, doctors, you name it. It is a major, major, major story for the whole, not only Connecticut, but the whole Northwest corner and adjacent Eastern New York. Lots of different letters to the editor. The first one we could talk about, and this comes off your story of last week about so many petitioning candidates.
Right. Barbara Prindle of Sharon was good enough to write to us and explain exactly why there were so many more petitioning candidates this year, this election year. And so I will invite everyone to read that letter.
All right. And giving and thanking, the very American tradition.
Yeah. Kathy Harold Marlowe always, from Sharon, always sends us really thoughtful letters, often about politics, this time about Thanksgiving and what the holidays mean to her family. And everybody should give it a read and feel a little bit better as we go into the holiday season and think about how we're spending this Thanksgiving.
And a topic that is being discussed in columns and opinion pieces and talked about on the radio and on TV, and that is how will the COVID pandemic end? You have a column, The Body Scientific, that also discusses that issue.
Right, and Rich Kessin is definitely the one to answer that question. He has been doing a series of columns on COVID for us from the beginning of the pandemic and has kept on top of everything, of course. And he, you know, really gives an interesting take and did deep research to figure out how he sees it. So definitely give this a read. And I hope that if you haven't been reading his columns all along, they are available at tricornernews.com. Just Google his, just search his name, and these columns will come up. And he's an expert and a really good writer, too, so give it a read.
And by the way, when you go to tricornernews.com, if you click on a story and it asks you to subscribe, don't get mad. Support your local paper, please. You know, you can't, you won't have the paper around to get stories from unless you support it. I just always have to point that out to people, especially when we put a link up that leads to the story and they complain to me that they have to pay for it. I said, well, yeah, you do. If you want the paper, you've got to support it either by donation or by taking out a subscription. So.
Well, I greatly appreciate you saying that, but I will say that if they aren't subscribers, all they need to do is register, yeah, and they get a certain number of free looks at stories. And our columns, by the way, are open to everybody. Yeah. So you can read Rich Kessin's column, whether you subscribe or not. It is open to everybody, as are, you know, other parts of the paper, including the obituaries.
And I love the Peter Steiner cartoon. So we'll meet again next year, as it's the climate change, to take up climate change, except that is for our colleagues from the lower elevations.
Right, and his drawing says it all. You just, yeah, you know, it is not as easy as he makes it look for a visual to describe the situation so very clearly and powerfully.
And Peter Riva, a view from the edge.
Yes, we always like it when we can have Peter on our page. He, of course, is in the Millerton News just about every week and has been for many, many years, and we're so grateful for that. He is talking about a CIA report on a paranoid psychopath, so definitely interesting reading. And don't miss Mac Gordon on affordable housing, too. He does this research, too. He's an architect, of course, from Lakeville and found this paragon of affordable housing across the globe, so don't miss it.
And before we get to Compass, I want to talk about, yes, this is a season where there's going to be a lot of fairs popping up again this year for the holiday season because they weren't around last year, and people should understand that they're now getting underway.
That's right. We've got an artisan fair coming up in Goshen, and we've got another one coming up in Tivoli, which is a little bit of a haul, but it's a very pretty ride. So we've got information on that. And, you know, of course, I love every issue of Compass, but I particularly love this one. I just love this Apple book. I'm completely entranced by it. It's a little little paperback book. Stick it in your back pocket, and it's got these beautiful apples. And if you drive around the northwest corner of Litchfield County, you often see these apple trees off on the side of the road. And you assume that they used to be somebody's backyard or something, but apparently a lot of them are just apple trees that just self-seed from, you know, somebody throws an apple out of the car window or, you know, an animal brings a seed by. And this guy has started gathering people once a year, and they bring all these funny apples they've found, and they have the most hilarious names. I have a friend who wants to go next year and bring the apples from the Cumberland Farm in Millerton and call it the Cumby Pippin. But a beautiful little book and wonderful photographs. And apparently this guy who takes these photos is very well known. He's on Instagram, known as Palm Queen. but really beautiful photos. We've got hunting season coming up. Probably you've seen people in camouflage getting in and out of their cars or over at gas stations. But as a reminder, there are a lot of new people here. If you are not aware, this is a very big hunting area, and a lot of people are hiking still. It's still fairly warm. So if you're going to go out in the woods, here's some information from New York State and Connecticut on wearing bright colors, identifying yourself, making sure that your dog is leashed and safe with you. And then, of course, coming up, the opposite of pet ownership, November 28th in Great Barrington at St. James Place, Mark St. Germain, the very interesting Great Barrington Public Theater, is doing something about a dog that he rescued and turned out not to be a happy partnership. And then I just love coming up, Donald Sosin this weekend, November 20th, Saturday at Dewey Hall, which is right on the main stretch as you enter Sheffield. And Donald Sosin, living here in Salisbury, one of the most famous living silent film piano accompanists, and his wife, Joanna Seaton, singer, wonderful singer, and they are doing The Lodger, an early thriller, almost a horror film by Alfred Hitchcock, and Happy Songs and Snacks, and then our calendar, of course, with a listing of events coming up in the area.
You also have some pictures there, artisan sales for holiday gifts, and that's a big thing that goes on around here all year long, but especially now back again in the holiday season.
Well, and as we talk about, we have our holiday gift guide coming up next week in the November 25th issue, but there's a lot of supply chain interruption going on right now, and the artisan sales, this is like your best year ever to shop local.
Well, that's it. You know, and another person pointed out, if you shop local farmers markets, guess what? There's no supply chain issues.
Right. And, yeah, and, you know, like there's a craft fair coming up at the Lakeville Firehouse,
yep,
which will be great.
And you have Swasa has their ski and skate swap, which is coming up,
yeah,
which is always big. So you can do it locally.
Yeah, so, and don't miss Tri-Corner, yep, Real Estate this week, also in the paper.
I'm amazed that there's still stuff to sell.
I know. You'll see. We have quite a few opportunities in there. So now's the time to think about it if you're thinking time to make a change.
I do make it a habit when I go by the signs that are listed, the initial listing, then the sale pending, and then the sold sign. It's amazing how quickly it goes on in our area. Now, let's talk about next week's Lakeville Journal, the publishing deadlines and things like that.
That's right. This is the week in the year where we close down for 4 days, Thanksgiving, that Friday, and, of course, Saturday, Sunday. So our folks can, at the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News, can celebrate with their families and friends. Let's hope everybody can do that this year safely. So we have an early deadline happening. Today is the day that you should get anything to us if you want to do an advertisement or anything to put into the paper. And the papers will come out one day early around this region on Tuesday. And we'll finish off in the further regions on Wednesday, so they'll all be out on the street early.
All right. Well, just in case, we're probably not going to have an edition next week, so we'll speak to you in 2 weeks.
Great.
Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Everybody.
Keep up the good work. That is this week in the Lakeville Journal. You can find the Lakeville Journal at tricornernews.com, and you can find this week in the Lakeville Journal at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on this week in the Lakeville Journal.